Dr. Judith Reisman. That's R-E-I-S-M-A-N. And click on her name and go right to her website. And you're going to want to go there. This is a woman who has gone into areas that few have passed before and brought back damning evidence about, well, you remember the name Kinsey. And her book is Kinsey, Sex and Fraud. And Dr. Reisman destroys the whole Kinsey myth. The legacy of Kinsey is one of death, personal misery, anguish, lost lives, and on and on and on. She has been on countless programs and is sought literally worldwide to speak, lecture, testify, and counsel individuals, organizations, and professionals regarding the fraudulent sex scientists, sex education programs, and the power and the effect of images and the monopoly media to alter human behavior and in many ways utterly destroy it. Because when your children, again, I've said this hundreds of times now, when your children are put before commercial television or let loose into the so-called popular culture, they immediately begin to be taken from you and reprogrammed with new morality, if you can even call it morality, that in many cases most parents should find to be utterly abominable, abhorrent, and shocking, to put it mildly. Our kids at the ages of 9, 10, 11, and 12 are doing things that children shouldn't do. And once you do them, and once those images go into the mind, they are there. Childhood is lost. God knows our children are growing up too fast as it is. Dr. Reisman is back tonight.
Look back on those old films. How many times, you know, they have the heroine, whether it's Katharine Hepburn or Ginger Rogers or whoever the heroine happened to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how often they have them getting a little bit tipsy, drinking a little too much, you know, and your hero always just kind of picks her up and carries her back to a bed. And nobody ever thinks a thing about this because he lays her down carefully, he covers up with a little blanket.
And quietly with
tiptoes out of the room.
Of course.
I've
fashioned my life along those lines. And
yeah.
Yes, of course.
So did an awful lot of men in those years. And, you know, then we started getting the switch and you know, the idea was to get her drunk, and it could be a kid, and you certainly weren't going to tiptoe out of the room unless you were followed by a lot of other people.
Even getting them drunk now, they're putting other things in the drinks, and you have a Coke, and you're out of it, and you wake up the next day, it's called date rape, or worse,
You know, the thing that amazes me, I'm on a new book. By the way, the last one is Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences. I know people keep mixing up the first and the last. Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences, in which we located, you know, Yorkshire Television. I don't know if you saw this yet, Jeff, but you really, we have to get your copy. Yorkshire Television in Great Britain did a documentary called Kinsey's Pedophiles. This is 1998.
Inspired by your work, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He says so on my book. I mean, he says, you know, I had reported what Kinsey had done with his quote-unquote team to all these children, and it was unbelievable. And so, of course, they had to go out and verify all that. They're even tougher than we are here in the United States as far as the laws are concerned, pre-publication, censorship, and everything. So, they checked it all out, and as Tim Tate, who produced the film, said, every little thing that I had said checked out to be absolutely accurate. Yes, these children were raped. Yes, the Kinsey team were the people who were involved in doing that. Others were involved as well, but he had recruited them, hired them, found a man in Germany, a Nazi Gestapo member, for goodness sakes, you know, who he was corresponding with, and the guy was doing these things for him and sending him his little data.
Just
now
part of the team.
We have tax money going to the Kinsey Institute as we speak.
How can that be?
Oh, yeah, tax money going, and they will be funded for a three-year period up to the $711,000 to do sex research, to do arousal research, to show pornography to people. And
they're still at it.
No, I mean, and, you know, one of the biggest problems we've got is since the media shuts down. You know, this is not headlines, thank you very much, that Kinsey was involved in all this in the Washington Post and the New York Times. You know, since we've got a media that shuts down the information that gatekeeps, if you the information that they don't want out. You know, we have legislators up there fighting this sort of stuff, fighting the Kinsey funding, fighting the funding to these bizarre, perverted academicians who want to, you know, do their pornography thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that they're dealing with fraudulent, bogus, criminal activity that involves the rape and torture of hundreds, if not thousands, of children. They get up there. We lost by a vote of 200. I think it was 200 to 200. No, 212 to something. We lost by two votes to defund all these programs.
Two votes. Well, I'd like a list of the people who voted for that.
Yeah, well, you can get it from Pennsylvania. Pat Tomey, T-O-M-M-E-Y. And I would tell everybody out there to get in touch with them and find out how come they didn't have us down there testifying about the Kinsey Institute and the foundation of the Kinsey Institute and who, you know, what they've been doing there all these years. I mean, the head of the Kinsey Institute there still lies, and I can say that frankly on the on the air, because and he still covers up the crimes that Kinsey did. Doesn't even try to find out anything about those children that were raped and tortured. Why is that better than the Nazi, you know, than the Nazi experimenters?
Oh, I agree. The amazing thing about all of this is how Kinsey insinuated himself into the American consciousness and psyche as being some kind of a master in this field. Nothing could be further from the truth. The man was an evil SOB who violated children in the most crude ways, oversaw same by others, hired people of similar mind who went on this rampage, literally got paid for it, and were somehow lionized in this country.
Yeah, well, he's a clinically definable sexual psychopath. I mean,
a predator of the worst type.
Yeah, this is a man that not only did all these things and hired people to do these things to children, and we don't know, but it is my strong belief at this point that Kinsey was one of them. I believe that Kinsey did that to the kids. I believe that he tortured them. I don't have any doubt in my mind at all. There's no way that he would have said the things that he did and testify in the ways that he did.
First-hand knowledge.
Yeah, you know, to my mind, he absolutely did it. Now, we know he had hired people to do that, and he may have had assistants, and he may have had maybe his own, you know, the people on his team. I don't know that part, but I strongly, strongly believe, as the person who's done the research here, that he was one of the pedophiles and the rapists and the sodomizers of these children. But beyond all that, I mean, this is a man who tortured himself and thought it was fun, you know. That's the only way he could. I mean, that was his sexuality. And, you know, you listen to a bunch of sexual psychopaths, you change your laws and start your sex education based on what those sexual psychopaths are doing, and you're surprised that you have a nation that becomes sexually psychopathic, you know?
Well, it's true. That's a very appropriate definition. We are leaning very strongly in that direction en masse here, and we've got the medical data to prove it. And I'm talking about multi-drug-resistant this, drug-resistant gonorrhea, outbreaks of syphilis all over the country now. Look, the roosters are coming home here, folks. It's not good news. HPV is rampant. You know all these things.
Yeah.
You've talked about them thousands of times.
Yeah.
No one's learning. Sex education has failed. We teach too much now. We have special interest groups who don't need naming here, who have gotten into the curriculum, into the textbook game. Things are being rewritten. Children are being duped. Parents are being duped. Where does the buck stop?
Well, you know, so long as we come back to the media, so long as our newspapers
what
of record.
What media?
Yeah. So long as our newspapers of record, New York Times, Washington Post, CBS, ABC, NBC, you know, television, those are your key informational vehicles, you know. It was James Madison.
And don't forget the fox and the hen house.
And that fox, for sure. You know, James Madison said years ago, in 18-something or other, he said that if we don't have popular information and a means of attaining popular information about the things that are critical to us, we lose our freedom. There is no freedom, said he, and he's completely correct. And talk to the people who are in the the newspaper field, they all say that there's no such thing as censorship while they censor everything that they want to all the time.
The country is not, despite your heroic efforts, the country facing an overwhelming onslaught of those media servants, of those who would do us harm. We're going in the wrong direction. We're not making the progress we all would like to see. All people of good heart, conscience, and mind, and that M word again, morality, have to be sickened at what's going on. I hear that from everyone, and yet nothing is seemingly being able to be accomplished to stop it.
Well, you know, this is a battle, and people have to decide that they are warriors, you know, in this battle. And they have to see themselves as the Marines landing on a beachhead.
And they got to go to war with whom, Judy? They got to go to war with their kids.
Well,
they got to fight their kids in many cases.
Yeah.
And no parents like to do that.
Well, they've got to go to war with their schools. They've got to go to war with their legislators. They've got to take everybody to task. I mean, if, you know, I'm reminded of World War II, just pre-World War II, when, you know, when the German... when the German parents, you have to remember, Nazi Germany did not arise from the elders in that country.
No, it was a new order.
That's right. It was the young kids.
Yeah.
It was the kids who had been retaught by the teachers in the schools. That is how that happened. And what happened was the teachers told the children that what their parents said and what their parents did was all just antediluvian, old-fashioned.
Same thing going on now.
Uh-huh. And they changed the school textbooks, and they took God out of the schools, absolutely, in Germany, and they took out all of the German kinds of teaching and substituted the Nazi stuff. And those kids were told not to tell their parents what was going on in the classroom. They were told not to, and they were just like we have here.
Same thing.
They were told to disregard their parents and what their parents had to say. So now then the parents started living in fear of their kids, just like you see here.
Thank you. You just summed it up magnificently. Parents do fear their children.
Mm-hmm.
And many children know they've got power. They have no wisdom or maturity. They know they can stand and fight and in some cases win because the parents will surrender. They don't want to do it. They think of their beautiful little child.
Mm-hmm.
Here's this child now, a teenager, driven by programming that's been inculcated for years, and the parents, there's no communicate. There's nothing. There's no way to talk.
No.
The kids will not back down.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they have to start early, you know, obviously, and train their kids to understand that that the media is not to be trusted, that they have to stand as independents, that they have to stand alone against the pack. That's very difficult.
Oh,
very difficult for parents to do, much less for the children to do.
The pack is more ruthless than it has ever been now.
It is indeed.
We've had children committing suicide because they've been rejected, harassed, and attacked by the pack.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And it grows and it gets worse. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the bad news and the good news. You know, if you don't start becoming the warriors on this scene, it is not going to get better.
It is going to get worse.
By the way, I'm working on a new book called Oversexed. It's going to be published by WorldNet Daily Publishing.
Good.
Yeah. Nelson is publishing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking, you know, we'll be writing about this, but you've got to become part of this battle. You know, so long as the parents sit back and allow those kids to be run ramshot over, you know, Dr. Laura is right. These kids shouldn't be in school anyway. You need to take your kids out and homeschool them. There's no question about that. They mustn't be in the school system, and they mustn't be listening to the kind of garbage that they listen to on the air and watching on the TV and that sort of stuff. And look, they're going to do that if mom and dad are doing it all the time too, you know.
You bet. I was surprised and heartened when she came out with that.
Oh, she has been anti-homeschooling, remember?
No, I know.
Yeah. And then she said, hey, there's just no way out. You know, you've got to take your kids out. And we look. All my grandkids are not in public school anymore. And you know, I was brought up to believe, and we've got these homeschooled and home-voted kids kind of thing. I was brought up to believe, you know, public school. You'd never want to have a private, you know, private school for kids. You never want to take. And they talk about socialization. Are you kidding? You bring your kids into the school to be socialized with, you know, spiked hair and with with horrific language.
Fierce bodies, language that's lower than the gutter, tattoos, you name it, mouthing these mindless, evil lyrics from alleged music that they listen to nonstop with their little Walkman.
Mm-hmm.
They're programming themselves. They have a working vocabulary of 500 to 1,000 words. On a good day, we all know now that the vocabulary, the size of the vocabulary will actually determine how much you can relate to life and living.
Yes, of course.
The experience of life is really dependent upon your vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. And your understanding of the language and how to use it and some consistency in using it.
Okay.
If you're with a children who only know how to say, hey, dude.
Yep.
And why, and like, and
like
and
playing tennis. You play with someone better than you, you improve. You play with someone worse, your game falls apart. Same kind of thing. You parents out there who are dealing with what we have been lately touching upon have to make a decision. You're going to have to go to war with your kids or not. There's no in-between. But if you do, and there's no communication, Judith, what what's the net result? The net result is potential violence, severing of all communication with the kids. They've been programmed. The kids, as I've said, have been taken away from the parents. You mentioned it. We've talked about it. The curriculum in the school, the attitude, is to basically damn near turn your parents in now. Fight your parents if they're out of line. You've got rights.
That's right. And that's exactly what I was saying. And that is exactly what they did in Hitler Germany. And that's the way he did it in Stalin, you know, in the Soviet Union,
too. Yeah, they always
were. And China. I mean, tyrannies are always like that. Tyrannies will always try to wrest the children away from the parents and let the government and the state step in and be the big experts so that they can control the kids. So, you know, that's a huge problem. I encourage people, look, I don't mean just, you know, go wake your child up, shake him loose and, you know, rinse their head, you know, put their head under the water to rinse up and stick them stuff out of their hair. But you have to become knowledgeable first. And, of course,
you've got to train yourself first, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you've got to subtly somehow try to build some bridge of communication with kids who have been taught not to communicate with you.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody likes to be conned, and the kids don't like to be conned. You know, if you can show them, and of course the best thing is if you're in a church, certainly they try and get your pastor out of his happy day mode, you know. I mean, you walk in the church and everybody's happy day, you know, man,
all
this is just great fun. You know, no. To some extent, yes, but to a great extent, no. You've got to get a pastors who are ready to pastor. You know, yes, get on the website, get on my website. There are a lot of websites out there that can inform you and get you knowledgeable. You know, bone up on what it is that your kids have been learning. Understand how they've been lied to. Be able to communicate with them about what it is that they have learned and why what they're learning is false and fraudulent and why it's going to cause them a tremendous pain. And there are always ways to point that out. I mean, you'll be able to talk to them about, you know, little Sarah or little Joey or, you know, friends that they have had who have done X, Y, and Z and have ended up in such enormous trouble. And maybe parents have to actually level with their kids and tell them the truth and say, you know, look, you know, I've been really lazy about this. I haven't checked to find out. It's my fault, you know, that I haven't fought this before. But, I mean, I didn't want to fight with you. I didn't want to earn your enmity, you know, if the kid knows what enmity is.
He's
using
all those big words, you see.
Yeah, didn't want to make you mad, you know, right? Didn't want to get you mad at me, that sort of thing. I mean, whatever it takes to sit down with those kids. And, of course, the big deal is to sit down with them, you know, is to be with them, is to make the time to do that. And it's pretty rough when you decide to do it when they're teenagers.
It's virtually impossible, especially if they're running with a pack, and most of them do. They'll bond with a pack, and that's it. They reinforce each other, not with encouragement, but it's fear-driven.
You parents are the parents. Let me tell you something. If you don't wrest your children out of those things, you're going to be taking your little girl down to that doctor one day. If she's not pregnant and if she doesn't have AIDS, she'll have chlamydia and she'll have a whole broad spectrum of other kinds of diseases.
She'll be on her way to cancer with HPV.
Yeah, and your boys, they're going to be on that internet. And so are your girls, you know, looking at pornography. and they will be totally unable to function as human beings. You're going to have all kinds of problems. You're going to pay the money through the nose for the psychologist. It's only going to make it worse, you know.
Thank you.
And you'll be up the creek for the rest of your lives
trying to figure out what to do with those kids. Failed child.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be bumping along the bottom, just more detritus on the road to nowhere.
I mean, there's no easy way out, you know?
Here's one of those stories that just, you know, you just kind of shake your head. I don't know if this one was funded by a grant or not. This is a BBC story.
Mm-hmm.
The headline is, Sexy Pop Stars Threaten Childhood. It's nice the BBC noticed. Children are being put under pressure to grow up too soon by pop stars who use a sexy image to promote their songs, a teacher's leader says. Oh, man, come on. This is a, you know, one of those things for the DUH file.
Yeah, you know, how about we go out shopping?
Yeah.
What about Abercrombie and Fitch? Excuse me? Have you looked at that stuff? Yeah, everywhere you turn.
Well, I just wonder which madam is running the store design and the clothing design.
Well, I don't know if it's a madam or if it's a monsieur. You know, very often it's a monsieur.
Sorry,
you know, these can be gentlemen.
Old reflexes.
Yes, old reflexes. And, you know, and they're out, of course, to destroy. People don't understand it. They're out to destroy children, you know. Explain that to somebody. Oh, who would want to do that? Well, who do you think makes this stuff? I mean, you know, 17 magazine is shameful. You can get the most outrageous direction in some of these materials. Only it's not any worse than they get in the classroom from Mrs. Smith and Mr. Jones.
All right, sex education.
Well, you know,
they get the condoms out, and the boys blow them up and pop them, and they demonstrate the condoms on anatomically correct.
Think yourself what either your teacher's a bloody idiot, and on what basis are you putting your child into
these 12-year-old kids getting this
bloody
stuff.
Idiot? Yeah, or they are a predator, right?
You got
one choice: either they're idiots or they're predators. There's nothing in between here.
Nice that Mr. O'Neill, the chairman of the Professional Association of Teachers over in the UK, is saying this, but he warns that the innocence of childhood is being eroded by the sexual imagery of such stars as blah, blah, blah. And he names a few obvious ones. And, you know, welcome to the real world, Mr. O'Neill. This has been going on for 25 years.
Mr. O'Neill, you know, the British have been doing sex education. They were worse than we were, earlier than we were. You know, they had the most, they had stuff that we wouldn't let into our schools. Of course, we do now. But they were doing that back in the 60s.
I am so sad when I see these kids, 16, 15, and you look in their faces.
Yeah.
What an empty, forlorn.
Yeah.
It's kind of is that all there is, look?
Yeah. Well, they know they've been abused. They know they've been violated.
They've been abused by their country, by their society, by their peers, by their whole school system. They've been abused by the culture, the music, the lyrics, the images, all of it.
They feel betrayed by their parents. You know, they really do, whether they can put that into words or not. Because the parents are there to be their protectors, their defenders. You know, that's what the parent is for. And they have their lives. Have been gutted of their youth and their innocence. Well, who do you blame for that, you know? So, but none of this is too late in the sense, well, for a lot of folks, you know, it isn't. But it takes huge effort, huge commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to focus on that. You can't be going off and, you know, playing your Mahjong or whatever it is that people play these days. And watching TV every night till all hours, and then reading escapist harlequin romances or those dippy detective things that the guys all read, you know, assuming they're not on the pornography junket and they're not hooked on that on TV, our men are not defending their families. They are reading garbage. They are watching television.
Well, they're on the Internet looking at porn, too.
Well, I said, if I'm talking about the ones who aren't doing it.
Yeah.
We know that, depending on whose data you're looking at, we're into, say, 25% of the male population looking at the latest figures, finding their sexual interaction with the internet. Now, that's the admission level. And, you know, what it really is another, and one in five Christian men are admitting to that.
Admitting. What worries me about kids on the internet, I found out in junior high school, when they have, a child can go to the library that school was boasting and use the computers to do research online. And I said, they're filtered, right? What kind of filter do you use? And they looked at me, these kids said, what do you mean? So you know what I mean, filtered. Mm-hmm. You can't let those kids on the internet without any kind of filter on the input.
Mm-hmm.
And no filters, nothing.
Well, I hate to tell you the horror stories I have heard, and I know about, of little kids, 11-year-old, 10-year-old, 9-year-old kids who are in school,
mm-hmm.
doing their research in school,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking under a sperm whale, right? Or, White House, whatever, and they've got these stealth sites out there, mm-hmm. and this poor kid stumbles on that, and he's stuck. You know, first of all, he can't get out. They don't register.
He can't back out of some of those sites.
Uh-uh.
You're right.
They've got it locked in.
And the images are going right
into
the child's soul.
Here's a child in a complete panic, which is shooting up his adrenaline like crazy and confusing him 1,000% even more and locking in the pornographic stimuli even further.
Locked in.
And here's this child trying to get out of there, not knowing what's feeling like they've done something. You know, the boys think
the
boy,
guilt.
The girl. You know, I've done it. It was my fault. Maybe. And if they say anything to the teacher, then the teacher's going to think that they were on this thing on purpose. I mean, it's so vicious.
Lose.
Sadistic. And then the poor kid finally has to call the teacher because there's nothing else to do. And, you know, it depends on how that teacher then is going to handle this sort of thing. I mean, so these are things happening all over our country. If anybody out there thinks that this is not a group of sadistic devil worship, I mean, you know,
Well, they don't get any more evil.
No, the evil
not when
is
you
just,
prey on children.
Yeah, and if anybody who thinks that that is not purposeful and the evil is just not seeking.
It has nothing to do with freedom of speech, friend.
No, of course not. It has to do with...
Don't let anyone kid you.
Mm-mm. No, it never did. It never did.
It's all by design. It's an intentional effort to bring this society down.
Yeah.
Now, look, what we need to handle this issue of porn is clearly a second... Internet. Internet 1, Internet 2. You move it off, you install regulations. It's going to have to take regulations, but it's not going to happen because the pornographic industry is a mega billion, if not trillion dollar enterprise.
Look, let me say something. Before 1948, before Kinsey got into our laws, and everybody please go on my website and don't do me any favors listening to me chit-chat with you. Buy the books, read them, learn. But before we got, in 1948, when Kinsey got into our laws through the American Law Institute Model Penal Code, you know, anybody who showed that kind of stuff anywhere was, if you pardon the expression, a criminal. They were picked up. They were given a trial, and they were clapped in a place called jail.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's absolutely no reason we don't do that again. We can pick people up. We can put them on trial for various things, so long as we make those things illegal again. And some of them are, and clap them in jail. And Ashcroft knows that. I mean, he knows that we have people violating these laws, even extant laws, even laws that exist all over the place. But they're free as birds, because the only thing Department of Justice is really looking at anymore is, quote, child pornography.
That's right.
And we don't know how long that's going to last, because you're going to lower the age of the child.
Yeah, they find too many highly placed government officials involved with it, and then there are always problems.
Well, the more it becomes a part of the society, the more your government officials are going to be part of it, too. Your doctors will, your lawyers will, your prosecuting attorneys will. You know, there's no way to stop that. If you allow this to become part of your society, if it becomes something that the kids are trained with, if your priests are trained with it, and they are, and your ministers, and they are, if they're going to college, then you can anticipate when you go into a courtroom or you have a divorce problem or you have a battery problem or you have any other kind of a problem that deals with sexuality or prostitutes, you know, plying their trade on your street or anything, that if you're dealing with some number of people along that road, your prosecutor may have it in his you know, his satchel or her satchel, right?
Right.
I mean, that is the way, if it seeps into the mainstream, it's in the mainstream.
There, it becomes part and parcel, it becomes structural to the, society change. People always say, well, society changed, it wasn't the same 50 years ago that it is now, and that's true, it has changed. There are new structural dimensions, parameters, that are so far beyond what we grew up with, but that's what the norm is expecting to be.
Jeff, I have to tell you, one of the numbers that shakes me up, and everybody get on that, my website, and go and pick, download, read the document. There are two big documents I want you to look at. One is on how the FBI and DOJ have lowered the sex abuse reports, rape and all that sort of stuff. And the other one is on the brain, the way in which pornography alters the brain.
Oh, really important.
Yeah, you need to look at both of those. But anyway, going back to the FBI piece, I think it's page 40 or something like that. I'm talking about the data that come out of the Department of Justice, 1999, and they haven't, as far as I know, repeated the research, but it's not going to be any, you know, a heck of a lot better, that 58,200 children were abducted by non-family members in 1999, abducted from playgrounds, backyards, you know, their own little environment.
Literally there. Right off the streets, baby.
Right off the streets, mm-hmm. And roughly half of those kids were sexually abused. Now, DOJ, did you see, was that a headline that I missed on the New York Times, huh? Or the Washington Post somehow? Or CBS or Fox?
It's an oversight by
somehow, I don't see
somewhere you missed it.
Here we have these kids picked up and kidnapped. And what we get is from DOJ, they say, well, we had 115 people, you know, kids who were kidnapped, murdered, sort of thing, so we're not any worse off than, though that's bad, you know, we're not any worse off than we were 10 years ago. What they're not telling you is 58,200, they're not counting those because that, according to their database, doesn't really count because these kids managed to get home within 24 hours. Excuse me?
Excuse me, too.
You know?
Unbelievable.
A woman who was raped on the street has more relevance to the database than a child. If the child makes it home by within 24 hours, it doesn't count?
It's all cuckoo. It's all cuckoo. We have 60 seconds. Tell us about the new book, Judy.
Oversexed by Thomas Nelson and WorldNet Daily. We are working right now on the contract, and so, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a very easy read. I'm going to include all, you know, whole body of research that I've already done, as well as case studies and testimonies and a lot of information for people to be able to use in their own daily activity to deal with their kids. We're going to try and make it kid-friendly so that you can actually use that with your kids.
The carnage amongst our children is it's hideous beyond measure, what's being done to these wonderful little minds who in many cases are being crippled, and they'll never be what they might have been.
No, they never will.